Please join me at this time for a moment of prayer. Our beloved Father in heaven, we again thank thee for the blessed opportunity we have to come to thy house and worship thee. Now, O Lord, we pray that thy spirit might be with us, that thou wilt be with this thy servant, thine unworthy servant, and be with thy people, thus thy servant to preach the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ, and thy people to hear and understand, and that we not all rejoice in thy great truth together, we pray, and because of it, or use it in one way or another in our lives to honor and to glorify thee. We're mindful of those on our prayer list. We thank thee that many for whom we've been praying are better, and pray thy continued blessings to be with them and all for whom it is our duty and privilege to pray. Forgive us of our sins, we pray, and all this we ask in the precious name of Jesus Christ, and amen. The Lord being my helper this morning, I want to preach for a few moments on the subject of election. The subject of election. Now, concerning this, you want my turn over to Ephesians chapter 1 now, because most of the thoughts will come from that, so you go there. But while you're turning and consider this, that God has a chosen people, and they will be in heaven's still world. Now, remember this. And we'll see that as we enter into the message. That is, God has a chosen people, and they will be in heaven's pure world. Now, I told you to turn to Ephesians chapter 1, and I want to read from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Ephesians 1 and verses 3 and 4. And these two verses read, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And I trust the Lord will bless us as we consider that. Alright. He opens these two verses with the expression, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And because, evidently, he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, concerning the heavenly place, the church of Jesus Christ is a heavenly place. Now, I look over in Ephesians 2, when it says in verse 6, And have raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that one of those heavenly places is the church of Jesus Christ. The kingdom of God is great, but when God meets with his church, that is a great, that is a heavenly place to be. And there is no more heavenly place that we'll ever experience, I think, than when we're in the church of Jesus Christ and God blesses us to worship him and worship him in spirit and in truth. And so remember that the church of Jesus Christ is a heavenly place. All right. Now, he has given us the blessings of salvation by grace. Those are some of those spiritual blessings. He has blessed us with his word. Now, what a blessing it is that we have the word of God. Now, in my regular reading, this morning, it's the third morning that I'm reading through the book of Psalms. Now, I'm glad in one way that those are just three Psalms each day so far. Now, and what I mean by that is that I can read Psalms a little bit longer. That is, there'll be more days that I can read in the book of Psalms. That's such beautiful expressions of devotion. All the Psalms are. Now, I love reading that. I anticipate the time when I get to the Psalms and start reading them. But it's a blessing to have the Word of God. These are one of the spiritual blessings they have. Listen, there have been times that people have been put to death because of having the Word of God as we do. There have been people that have been probably put to death, or one half of the certain authorities have known it, because they printed the Word of God. There were certain people, even certain churches, that didn't want people to have the Word of God. You say, well, why do certain churches do that? Well, one in particular, and that is that they themselves were the authority of what was truth. And if they said something was truth, it was contrary to the Word of God, then people can read it and know that, okay, well, that's not really the truth. Because so they are the authority instead of the Word of God. But listen, we have God's authority for us. We have the opportunity to read and study and meditate about the Word of God. He has blessed us with the ability to praise and serve Him. Well, first of all, since we're born of the Spirit of God, one of the spiritual blessings, the salvation by grace, since we're born of the Spirit of God within us is the desire to praise the Lord. Within us is the desire to worship the Lord and serve Him and live like we ought to as according to the Word of God. Within us is that desire. Alright, so God has given us, and God has given us all the spiritual blessings we need. Now, we may need some tomorrow that we don't have today, but I think it's safe to say by this passage of Scripture that whatever that blessing we need tomorrow that we don't have today, God will give it tomorrow. Give it to us tomorrow. At the time, short of before, or sometime, we'll have that blessing we need, and whatever that might be, whatever spiritual blessing that might be. And so God has given us an abundance of spiritual blessings. These blessings were to those who were chosen before the foundation of the world. These spiritual blessings were given to those that were chosen before the foundation of the world. Because He said, after He says, blessed be the God who's given us all these blessings, in the beginning of verse 4 He says, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. And so these blessings were given to those chosen before the foundation of the world. God the Father chose us in Jesus Christ. God the Father chose us in Jesus Christ. And so, since He chose us in Jesus Christ, we were therefore, and are therefore, a part of Jesus Christ. This was before we ever existed. Remind you again, this was before God created the heaven and the earth. Or, to use the language in this verse of Scripture, it was before the foundation of the world. And since this was done before the foundation of the world, God gets all the glory for that. No one, no thing can get glory for that, because at that time only God existed. And so therefore, God gets all the glory. And when we consider, just step aside just a minute, and say, when we consider salvation by the grace of God and the works of salvation God has done for us, God alone did that. And so therefore, God is to receive all the glory. And I think that's one of the reasons that I rejoice in salvation by the grace of God, and by the grace of God alone, is simply because since God did all of it, God gets all the glory for that. Again, God did it then because only God existed. Now, think of it this way. I remind you again, this was done before we were chosen in Christ, before we ever had existence. And yet, before we existed, we had existence. But you see, we were chosen in Jesus Christ. Before the world was ever made, before what happened on the first day of creation, we had existence because we were chosen in Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, I believe that's marvelous. And I put it to you this way, it's far beyond my comprehension. And yet, I can't understand it, but I just simply believe it by faith that we had our existence in Jesus Christ. Alright. Now notice the language of this. First of all, He has chosen us in Jesus Christ. And first of all, that means God the Father did it in the past. We were chosen in Jesus Christ, obviously before the world began, so He did that in the past. Alright. Now think of it in this way. The word has chosen, just to use this verse of Scripture, or consider that expression. That is a, what's called the past perfect tense. Now, don't ask me to explain that to you, but I'll tell you what it means, at least to some degree. And it means that, first of all, God did it in the past, but that means that He didn't get this sense, so He chose us in Christ, but He has chosen us in Jesus Christ. And that means one of two things, as far as I know. One, He keeps on doing it, or the second one is, it remains effective. God does not need to keep on choosing us in Jesus Christ, but it does indeed remain effective. Now, to me, that means that since He has chosen us in Jesus Christ, it remains effective, and we will always be a part of Jesus Christ. Now, that's an amazing thing. We will always be a part of Jesus Christ. Alright? God chose us to be holy and without blame before the Father in love. God chose us for that particular reason. Now, the end result from that is, now that's what He's talking about in this passage of Scripture. We'll get more of this in just a moment. But the end result from this is not that we live God without us. God did not choose us in Jesus Christ just to the point that we might live God without us. That's not what that means. We certainly should serve the Lord because of the grace of God, just out of appreciation of those things that God has done for us in saving us by His grace, starting with election and predestination before the world began, and then ending with the resurrection and being glorified as Jesus Christ. That is, when it comes to its full fruition at that particular time. But election is by the grace of God. In Romans chapter 11, verse 5, you find this. It says, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Well, a remnant is a part of the whole. I think it, I'm sure many of you think of a bowl of fog. And once a certain amount of that bowl of fog is taken, the first time something is taken, then what's left is the remnant, not the whole thing. But God says that there's a remnant, but that's according to the election of grace. Now, don't want to get into a remnant a whole lot, but the idea is election is by the grace of God. Well, when God chose us in Jesus Christ, then that was by the grace of God. And the word should is the future perfect tense of the word shall. I don't know a great deal about future perfect any more than I know about past perfect that I mentioned just a moment ago. But it's saying this, God has chosen us in Jesus Christ, and because of that we shall ultimately be holy and without blame before the Father in love. And so that's the story, looking forward to the resurrection. Alright? We were chosen in Christ. Again, I remind you, we were made a part of Jesus Christ. We were chosen in Christ to be holy and without blame. Now, I remind you again, we were a part of Christ before the world began. And as a part of Christ, He had then, and because we're still a part of that, of Christ, He has now the responsibility for us. I've had a few search procedures done, and some of you have also, maybe all of you, but I've had some done after we moved here. I've had a couple of, I had a melanoma removed from the back of my neck shortly after we moved here, and then sometimes later, had a basal cell carcinoma moved up here. I tell people I don't have a hole in my head, but I do have some divots because of those things. But, now, it wasn't Catherine's responsibility to get that done, to make sure it was done. I couldn't do it, but I had to give the okay for those two doctors that did that, so that it might be done. Well, now why? Because that was a part of me. And I had the responsibility to make sure what needed to be done to me. Now, think of it in this way. We were chosen in Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world. As being a part of Jesus Christ, then Jesus has the responsibility for us. And as part of Christ says, He has responsibility for us. And He took that responsibility. Think of it in this way. We were as good as saved before the foundation of the world. Now, I didn't say we were saved before the foundation of the world, and we weren't saved before the foundation of the world, but before the world began, we were as good as saved, because Jesus was going to take that responsibility. God chose us that we might ultimately be holy and without blame before Him or us, and Jesus was going, looking in the past before the world began, Jesus was going to take the responsibility to do those things necessary so that we might be holy and without blame before Him in love. That is, Jesus, because He loves us as a part of Him, went to the cross to redeem us from our sins. And Jesus, and other things can be brought out, I suppose, but Jesus, ultimately, in the resurrection, will come and get us. If we are buried within the ground, then He will raise us up and glorify us. If we are living as we are now, Jesus will raise us up. And all of His people, those chosen in Him, will be raised up from the dead and be glorified as He Himself is glorified. Because Jesus was going to take that responsibility. So, for that reason, brothers and sisters, we were just as good as saved, because Jesus was going to take care of that was a part of Him, of us that was a part of Him. Now, we need to be reminded of one thing, and as we think of these fundamental doctrines, it's good to overlap and put this together and that together like pieces of a puzzle overlap. All right. And we need to remember that we were dead in trespasses and sins. That's total depravity. And that's found in Ephesians 2:1. And you have to quicken who were dead in trespasses and in sins. Now, I'll remind you again, death means separation. That is, there was a separation between us and God. All humanity fell. In our 1 Corinthians 15, as in Adam, all died. Even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Every human being died in Adam. He was, to use the expression that's commonly used, he was our federal head. He was our representative. And when he died, then that sin passed on every human being. And God could have kept us separated forever. But He wouldn't. And one of the reasons why is because we were a part of Jesus Christ, His beloved Son. To make us forever separated from Him, I think to some degree, in a way, we do the same to Jesus, because we were a part of Jesus. And we're still a part of Christ. So listen, I love it this way. And that is, when Adam sinned, God could have cast all of humanity away from Him. And yet, we had a place of safety. And that was in Jesus Christ. God would not, or I almost come to the point to say God could not cast us off. Now, there's some things that God cannot do. He cannot lie. The scriptures say that. God cannot break His covenant. That would be the same as lying, I suppose. But the fact is that that's one thing that God could not do. Because if He cast us off forever from Him, He would cast off Jesus, His beloved Son.